Manx Radio's update with Beth Espy.
Mufastamai, good evening. Welcome to the programme on this fairly murky Wednesday. Coming up before 5.30, there could soon be work happening on two long-stalled developments in the capital. We'll bring you the details on that. The politician behind the assisted dying bill says he's confident concerns raised in the UK won't derail its progress here. Also tonight, tributes are being paid to cancer awareness campaigner Sarah Jarvis, who has died from the disease after dedicating herself to raising awareness about it. And as Valentine's Day approaches, we look ahead to a special concert at Peel Cathedral that's coming up this weekend. We'll also, as usual, have a look at the weather, the traffic and the travel. And if you'd like to get in touch, you can email studio@manxradio.com. We'll start with a roundup of the main news headlines with Amy first. Fastamai.
Plans to install significant flood defences for Ramsey West Quay have been unveiled by the Department of Infrastructure. It's part of efforts to improve the town's resilience against tidal flooding. The mover of the assisted dying bill says it's normal for Westminster to be asking questions and taking its time over the legislation. The bill's awaiting royal assent, while the UK Ministry of Justice has returned with a host of questions since it was approved on Ireland last year. But Alex Allinson, MHK, doesn't believe it will hold up the bill.
I'm fairly confident now that we can go ahead for royal assent and start the work that needs to be done in terms of some of the safeguards, in terms of the codes of practice and the regulations that underpin the safety of providing assisted dying.
Tributes are being paid to a cancer awareness campaigner on the island who's died from the disease. Sarah Jarvis was 58 when she was diagnosed with ovarian cancer in 2023, forcing her to take early retirement from a career in marketing. Speaking to Manx Radio during her treatment, Sarah said it was vital women listen to their bodies.
Don't put up with it. Do be brave. Do go to a doctor and do insist. If you feel you're being fobbed off, gently push back at them.
To sport now, and record-breaking Great Britain cyclist Matthew Richardson will be the guest of honour at this month's Isle of Man Sports Awards. The 26-year-old's career highlights to date include medals at the Olympics, Commonwealth Games and UCI Track World Cycling Championships. The ceremony takes place on Thursday the 26th of February. Turning to international news now, and Canada's Prime Minister says we will learn from one of the worst mass shootings in his country's history. Seven people and the killer were discovered at a secondary school in British Columbia, while two other bodies were found at a house nearby. Sir Keir Starmer has been forced to defend his premiership once again after the Tory leader accused his government of being stuffed with paedophile apologists. Kemi Badenoch's attack came after the British Prime Minister's former communications chief, Lord Doyle, was stripped of the Labour whip over links to a sex offender. And Oatly can't use the word milk in its marketing after the plant-based drink maker lost a legal battle. The industry body had argued the term should only refer to products that come from an animal. Those are your headlines. I'll be back with the news in full at 6.
Thank you very much indeed, Amy. So the weather brought to us by Manx Glass and Glazing. It's been really grey out there, hasn't it? And I'm not sure it's going to get much better, really. That hill fog and rain and drizzle will continue for the rest of the day. There'll be a light or moderate easterly breeze, though. That wind will then back northeast and strengthen later on this evening. Again, though, those outbreaks of rain and drizzle carrying on overnight. Minimum temperatures will be around 4, so a little bit colder. Cloudy tomorrow, rain continuing. It will be more persistent by late morning, a moderate or fresh east or northeast wind, locally strong though in more exposed places. So the top temperature tomorrow will be around 6, and then colder air will move in later tomorrow evening, and that will allow the rain to turn wintry over high ground, and it will clear later tomorrow night. And then looking ahead to Friday, it will be a cold start, a risk of ice in some places, especially over high ground. Otherwise though, it will actually be dry and, get this, sunny spells developing in the afternoon. Won't know what to do with ourselves. Top temperatures on Friday will be around 5.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674 573 or visit the showroom on the Snugbrough Trading Estate.
It's just coming up to 5 past 5 here on Update. So it's hoped government funding through the Island Infrastructure Scheme will see two long-stalled development sites in Douglas completed. So this is the initiative which sees up to 25% of eligible development costs provided to brownfield redevelopment projects. Lewis Foster has the details.
The latest projects to be offered financial support are the redevelopment of the former Newton's building on North Quay and the former KFC or Griddles site on Duke Street. The two projects join others at Villiers Square and Lake Road in Douglas and Ocean Castle in Port Erin to receive funding through the Island Infrastructure Scheme. The Department for Enterprise says the five schemes together bring the total private sector investment proposed to nearly £80 million. In October, the North Quay development had planning permission granted for number 27 and number 28 to receive 9 apartments, 1 townhouse and 4 commercial units. Meanwhile, Duke Street is progressing through the planning application process and has been approved in principle through the scheme, subject to planning approval. It hopes to provide 38 serviced apartments alongside new retail space. Demolition of the former KFC building had begun in 2020. However, after a frame had been erected, work seemed to have stalled. It supposedly resumed in 2023, but there appears to have been minimal progress since. Enterprise Minister Tim Johnston, welcoming the news, says these sites have been unoccupied for a number of years and their redevelopment will deliver significant visual and amenity improvements to prominent locations within Douglas. By providing funding through the Economic Strategy Fund, we're supporting and incentivising private sector investment across our island, he says, aligning with the long-term ambition to secure £1 billion of investment and helping to create a vibrant, sustainable and attractive environment for both residents and visitors. Minister Johnston adds, since the initial launch in 2023, I'm pleased to see the continued progress of previously announced sites, with groundworks well underway for both Villiers Square and Lake Road, which are due to be completed late 2027, early 2028. Additionally, Ocean Castle in Port Erin has recently received full planning and is progressing to the delivery phase in the coming months.
Lewis Foster reporting there. It is a long time since I heard the word griddles, I have to say. It is 7 minutes now past five. So the MHK behind the assisted dying bill says he's confident that a series of questions from the UK's Ministry of Justice on the matter won't slow down its progress. So details of the questions have been passed to members of the House of Keys. They've been answered by the Department of Health and Social Care and included a request for details about post-death reviews. Dr. Alex Allenson says it's normal practice and this shouldn't slow things down.
It has taken a long time since the passage of this bill through Tynwald, and we took a huge amount of time and effort to refine it, and lots of amendments came in. That was then sent off to the Ministry of Justice after it passed there in March last year. I'm fairly confident now that we can go ahead for royal assent and start the work that needs to be done in terms of some of the safeguards, in terms of the codes of practice and the regulations that underpin the safety of providing assisted dying to those people in our society who require it.
We had a high-ranking member of the UK Justice Department due to come over here. That's been called off a couple of times. Is this anything to do with that?
I don't think so. I don't know the exact reasons for some of the cancellations of the Ministry of Justice ministers coming over. I suspect that's more to do with the situation in Westminster at the moment than anything to do with our legislation. But I have written to David Lammy, the Lord Chancellor, and also Jake Richards, who was due to come over, to say that I'm more than happy to meet them in London if they can't make it to the Isle of Man.
Wouldn't it be better if all this had been come out while the thing was in progress?
Well, what's happened with royal assent is that after the intense scrutiny that the bill has had through Tynwald, it then goes to the Ministry of Justice to look at the implications it may have with our relationship with the United Kingdom. That's what's taken place. They have not found any flaws in the legislation. They've simply asked for some explanation and clarification on some of the operational aspects of it, on the basis of some of the court cases that have happened in Europe. You have to remember that in Europe there are 9 countries that already provide for assisted dying and have done so for decades. But the Ministry of Justice have asked for clarification. That's been given both by the Attorney General's office and also by the Department of Health and Social Care now. So I'm quite content that those questions have been answered satisfactorily.
That's the Ramsey MHK, Dr. Alex Allenson, talking to John Moss. Coming up to 10 past five, well, Port Erin commissioners have agreed to hold a public meeting about the Rayet Vrada glamping site. Board member Jimmy Cubbin says he'd like to see a resolution to the situation and is calling on Manx Utilities and the Planning Division of the Department of Environment, Food and Agriculture to attend. It was confirmed at the commissioners' meeting last night that an offer to take over the lease was received. However, due to local authority legislation, this couldn't be taken up until the site was returned in whole and must follow a tender process.
Well, I wasn't on the board when all the decisions were made for it to become a campsite, and since I've been on the board, there's just huge frustrations about how drawn out the process has become. And I've seen a number of decisions or indecisions by government departments, which has made it very difficult for us. So My understanding is that there's people that are living there permanently, which is a breach of planning. Well, where's the planning enforcement department? Because if I put a log burner in my shed without planning, they're straight at me. Yet this is a matter which is seriously affecting the South and Port Erin, and it could have resulted in this campsite legal debacle being wound up a lot sooner. So somebody from that department or DEFA should be accountable to the public. So it's fair to ask those questions, that why is that not happened? This could potentially bankrupt Port Erin with legal fees.
Who are you hoping to have there? I know you mentioned DEFA and planning. Are they some of the people that you're going to invite?
Well, hopefully somebody from planning or planning enforcement, whether it's the chief exec of DEFA that sits above it, but somebody could come down. And also the MUA, because I fully appreciate cost of living. I've actually got no problem with people living off-grid as such. I fully understand it, and I think a lot of people will go that way in the future. But for the MUA to, when we're trying to work to resolve getting the land back into Port Erin ownership, when essentially if people are living there because it's a breach of planning, as determined by an FOI that I submitted to planning, where they wouldn't give out information because they stated that they couldn't because there was a potential criminal investigation, which suggests that they think that there's a breach of planning, then for the electricity to be cut off, for my view to help people move on, then for the government to give individuals their own electricity supply to live illegally, well, if I suddenly wanted to move up onto the side of South Barule tomorrow, which would be lovely, I couldn't write to the MUA and ask for my own electricity supply. You look at how your man was treated down the north when he wasn't allowed to live illegally, then there should be consistency, shouldn't there?
That's Port Erin board member Jimmy Cubbon talking to local democracy reporter Emma Draper. So we did contact Manx Utilities and the Department of Environment, Food and Agriculture for a response. First of all, the MUA says its role is to provide electricity supplies in line with their statutory obligations and their published terms and conditions. As outlined, they say, in our recent Freedom of Information response, the Rayup Radda Ballyfesson site has one electricity supply, which was transferred to a new customer on the 14th of November following a valid application that met all requirements. Our function, they say, is limited to the safe and compliant provision of electricity to customers who meet those requirements. They go on to say, we understand from media reporting that a public meeting is being arranged in relation to the site. Manx Utilities is happy to engage where appropriate and within the scope of our responsibilities once it is clear what information or support is being sought. Meanwhile, the Department of Environment has told us that a planning enforcement case relating to Rayup Radda remains ongoing. Officers have carried out a number of site visits in recent weeks and are progressing formal correspondence with relevant parties, including the landowners and liquidator. They conclude by saying, we are aware of calls for a public meeting and, subject to availability, are happy to attend to outline the planning position and enforcement process. You can find the full details on the Manx Radio website. It's coming up to 13 minutes past five, and tributes are being paid to a dedicated cancer awareness campaigner who has died from the disease. Sarah Jarvis was 58 when she was diagnosed with ovarian cancer in 2023, a diagnosis that led her to take early retirement from her career in marketing. But even while undergoing treatment, Sarah made it her mission to raise awareness about the importance of recognising unusual symptoms. In this interview with us in 2024, Sarah spoke candidly about her own experience, urging others to seek medical advice as soon as possible if they had any concerns.
My paternal grandmother had died of ovarian cancer, which of course is a trigger for a GP to listen to that. It just so happens that I have not inherited that from her, but that's a different story. So she listened, did some investigation, but basically wrote me up for some blood tests and for an ultrasound urgently, which is extremely helpful because I wasn't floundering in the bottom of a waiting list. And the principal blood test for that was cancer antigen 125. It's a tumour biomarker. It can be elevated for other reasons. Pregnancy, definitely not. Menstruation, definitely not. Endometriosis, possible. Or cancer. It's hard because I say, you know, because the symptoms are so non-specific about bloating and about getting full very quickly and about maybe needing to pee more often. Apparently, as a result of some of the stuff I've put on social media, there are quite a few doctor surgeries who've had quite a few phone calls. And that is just fine, because say if 30 women made that phone call, two of them had some strange things and only one of them got found, well, that one of them will have been worth it. I'm not being rude about GPs because they're very busy, but I say do not let a GP fob you off, I think would be my advice as well. An awful lot of women get dismissed as having IBS, but IBS doesn't usually present, it doesn't start in people over 50. So if you're over 50, safety. Don't let them tell you it's that necessarily. It might be, but it might not be. Get the tests. Don't let them just tell you it's menopause. Don't let them tell you all of that stuff. Suggest, could you please test me? Could I please have the blood test? It's not 100% accurate, you know, either whether it's low or high. It's not necessarily that accurate, but it is an indicator. That's all they can do. It's a rule of thumb. If that number is high, they will send you for more diagnostics. But don't put up with it. Do be brave. Do go to a doctor and do insist. If you feel you're being fobbed off, gently push back at them.
That is Sarah Jarvis talking to us in 2024, an incredible woman who unfortunately has died at the age of 60.
Manx Radio Travel, serviced by Quayside Tyres.
So nothing specific on the roads. It is obviously a little bit wet out there, so do take care on your drive home. There are also those temporary lights on Cool Road in Braddon near the business park still. Also on the Braddon Road just up from Braddon Bridge, temporary lights there. Farm Hill, there are lights on Stevenson's Way. They are 24 hours a day. That's for gully work. And just a reminder, the Millennium Bridge closed again tonight from 8 until 6 a.m. All okay down at the airport. The Manxman will be in at around about 5:30, heading out again for Heysham at 7:15.
Manx Radio Travel, serviced by Quayside Tyres. Call Quayside Tyres on 664417 to book your free vehicle's winter check so your vehicle is safe for you and other road users.
You listen to Update here on Manx Radio. It's just gone 16 minutes past five. We're talking about this wet weather, and it is a pain for most people. But while we can look out at the rain and complain, farmers on the island are really having to get on with things and get out there at a time of year when the calves and lambs are on their way. And this week marks the Farm Safety Foundation's annual Mind Your Head campaign. And it really has the aim of giving support to young farmers in particular. Here's John Moss. Oh no, it's
raining. Yes, tell me about it. No, tell the Manx farmers about it, like Kiri Kermode of Manx Radio's farming programme, who farms at Maloo.
Having this consistent rain day in, day out is getting quite monotonous. It's hard for the livestock, it's hard for the farmers.
Some farmers, I understand, are having trouble getting onto their fields because they're so waterlogged.
Oh, absolutely. I think that sort of was stopped a couple of weeks, maybe 3-4 weeks ago. You can't just access the fields as you would regularly.
Why would they want to access the field?
It's important at this time of year that they get additional food, the cattle and sheep around the countryside. Those cattle that are left out, they get fed each end of the day with extra hay and silage to keep the warmth and the strength up in them. This time of year, feeding the sheep pre-lambing time, it's important they get the nutrients to get through into the young that they're carrying so that they have strong, healthy lambs in March, April time.
What about the animals themselves plodding around in wet and damp and mud? This must give them problems with their legs, doesn't it?
It can cause all sorts of problems. Lame feet, dermatitis, not getting somewhere dry to get out of the mud. You know, it can cause that problem. But also the sheep and cattle are heavy carrying their young at this time of year, so extra weight burden. It is hard. You know yourself, it's so difficult to even take a country path at this time of year. It's very slippery. It's hard going. And that's what it feels for them. You know, they use a lot more energy to travel around if they're having to graze to travel that distance.
Am I right in saying the Isle of Man is a place where if it does stop raining and we get a few days of dry, windy weather with a bit of sunshine, it does sort itself out quite quickly, does it?
It really does. Yeah, we'll be complaining it's too dry. We won't be able to get the ploughs in the ground for springtime, no doubt. But no, that is the case on the island. It does clear up quite quickly. Even a blue sky or an odd sunny day does lift the spirits, and it certainly helps with the livestock as well. They can stand and take the heat on their backs. This week sees the campaign from the NFU, the Farm Safety Foundation Yellow Wellies Week, which is supporting young people in agriculture that may be suffering from the stresses and strains at this time of year. There's a lot of dark hours, a lot of rain, a lot of misery. You know, it is important that we check in on our farmers and our neighbours, see that they're doing okay. If they need a little bit of extra support, it's important.
Kiri Kermode, one of those farmers trying to make it through the rain. Looks like we are.
John Moss reporting there and talking to Kiri Kermode. You can find out more details about the Mind Your Head campaign and find links to relevant support over at manxradio.com. It is coming up to 20 past five, and the Manx Viking Wheelers Club says there's currently a real risk they won't be able to run any senior mountain bike, cross country or gravel cycling events on the Isle of Man in 2026. So now there is an urgent appeal for volunteers to help run events this year, as well as get people's views on the future of the sport at a meeting next week. Niall Quiggin, the club's treasurer and one of its directors, explains the current situation.
So in the past few years, cross country, mountain bike and gravel events events have been administered by the Manx Mountain Bike and Gravel Association. Last year, they merged with Manx Viking Wheelers. The plan was that they would continue to run the events and Manx Viking Wheelers would do the admin background. Essentially, this year, those plans haven't really panned out as we foresaw. And yeah, it's looking like without further volunteer help, the cross-country events and gravel events won't be administered by the club this year as things stand. So yeah, we're just putting a shout out really for more volunteer help and anyone really who has any skin in the game when it comes to cross country or gravel or even has a vague interest on how it's run to come to our next committee meeting and offer their input.
In a worst case scenario, if indeed this risk becomes a reality that we don't have mountain bike, gravel, cross country events in 2026, how damaging could that be for cycling on the island this year?
Yeah, I mean, I can't remember the last time there wasn't a event of that nature on the Isle of Man, and it's important that we have a cross country scene in particular because, you know, every couple of years we expect to send athletes to the Island Games to win medals. So without that event being run on Ireland, it becomes difficult to see how we can send those teams going forward. It's important still to stress that there's a good youth mountain bike scene, and then there's downhill, and then there's also the Manx Grand Fondo this year. But the competitive element in the sport for senior athletes is seriously at risk.
What options are there now to try and turn this all around?
So the hope is that people see our message and they come to our next meeting and, you know, perhaps they don't volunteer or actually take one of the roles we're talking about, but they maybe have ideas on how, you know, we can restructure some of our other events so that more availability within our current committee can be freed up. As with anything in cycling, it's all volunteer based. No one's doing this for money. It's for love of the sport. I think the key message is that at this moment, we wouldn't be putting this shout out for more help if it wasn't absolutely needed.
That is the treasurer and one of the directors of the Manx Viking Wheelers Club, Niall Quiggin, talking to Rob there. So anyone with views and ideas on the future of cross-country and gravel racing over here is invited to attend the club's next committee meeting. So that's next Wednesday, the 18th of February at 6:30 p.m. at the Sea Terminal in Douglas. Now, a concert of Love and War is set to be played on Valentine's Day this weekend. Gry asks, I haven't pronounced that right, but anyway, it'll be performed by the Manx Gaelic Choir. Here's Annie Kizik.
I started off years ago using traditional Manx Gaelic songs. I speak Manx, and so now do most of the choir. I've adapted those for the people in the choir, so I write the music for most of the things, 95%. And certainly the last 20 years, I've been writing loads of songs myself for the choir. So it's sort of a mixture of old and new, but they mostly have my stamp on one way or another.
You mentioned the themes Love and War. So what are you looking to, what are you going to be covering, I suppose, within those themes?
Well, there are a few songs in a repertoire already which have reference to love story where the beloved has been taken away, for example, in the press gang. So that's a sort of side thing of the war theme there. And the woman goes to try and find her true love. But I'm not going to tell you the story because it's quite a good one. Those sort of Victorian bass songs. We were pushing it a bit on the war, to be honest. But we thought with Mars overhead, we'd have a go. So we've got a few planetary sort of songs too, which have sort of talking about things going on in the sky, not Mars in particular, but using some very old Manx words, actually, that were religious words, you know, about what was there when before the universe was formed and that sort of thing. So we're using songs from our repertoire, and most things fit if you think about them one way or another. Don't be put off by the thought that most of these songs are going to be in Manx Gaelic, because I always have little stories and anecdotes. We're going to have some rather interesting little poems in English, which I found in the newspapers of Valentine's things, quite sort of light-hearted and entertaining. People have generally said we're quite entertaining, so I'll believe them.
Oh, Annie Kizik, just brilliant. Talking to Darren Timpson there, you can find out the full details on the Manx Radio website about that concert taking place on Saturday at Peel Cathedral. Sport is brought to us by the Print Shed. Unfortunately, somebody who can pronounce words better than me, Rob Pritchard.
Fast am I. No pressure then. Starting off, record-breaking Great Britain cyclist Matthew Richardson will be the guest of honour at this month's Isle of Man Sports Awards. The 26-year-old has enjoyed a stellar career to date, which includes medals at the Olympics, Commonwealth Games and UCI Track World Cycling Championships. And just last week, he also became the first British man to win the sprint title of the European Track Cycling Championships, where he also claimed gold and silver in the Keirin and Team Sprint, respectively. He also currently holds the world record for the men's 200-metre flying lap. Well, ahead of his visit to the island, Richardson says, "I am excited to attend the Isle of Man Sports Awards. It will be my first visit to the island, but I am aware of its deep sporting roots. I can't wait to meet the athletes and experience the island's sporting culture for a few days." Well, the 2025 Isle of Man Sports Awards are due to take place at the Villa Marina in Douglas on Thursday, the 26th of February at 7:30 p.m. In motorsport, German rider David Datter will team up with Brian McCormack to form the Roadhouse Macau team at the 2026 Isle of Man TT races. For Datter, it'll be a long-awaited return to the Snæfell Mountain course, having missed last year's event due to serious injuries sustained at a race in the Czech Republic last season. Meanwhile, 42-year-old McCormack continues his ongoing association with the team and has been an ever-present at the TT since 2010. Well, both riders will compete on BMW M1000RR machinery in this year's senior, superbike and superstock races, whilst the duo will be on board the Global Robots PHR Performance Triumph in the Super Sport races. Separately, McCormack is also expected to be involved in the New Look Sportbike TT class on a Global Robots Aprilia RS660. And organisers of this year's Manx National Rally say they're already bowled over by the level of demand to take part in this year's event. Manx Autosports confirmed it received more than 180 entries just a few hours after entries opened on Monday evening. The organisation adds interest has not only come in from crews from across the Isle of Man, UK and Ireland, but also from as far out as Japan. The 2026 Manx National Rally is due to take place over 2 days, from Friday the 8th of May to Saturday the 9th of May, and will cover 137 classic stage miles, and the rally will also form rounds of no fewer than 5 different championships.
Oh, do you know what? Ooh. That's not what I meant to do. It's going so well this evening, isn't it? It's fine. Rob, we're in complete control. You okay?
I'm absolutely
fine. It's a good job I'm not a rally driver.
All in hand, all under control.
Maybe I should take up rally driving. Bit chaotic. I did used to love watching it, to be fair.
It looks like a great experience. I've always wanted to be a passenger in there. I don't want to do the pace notes. That's too complicated. But to be in a car on a proper stage, that
would
be something.
Right, you're on. Right, would you trust me behind the wheel?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah,
sure.
Of course. That is all from Update. You'll be relieved to hear on Spotlight. So I'm just going to give a... I'm going to give in.